This talk is brought to you by awakenedheartproject.org.
And the essence of what that much more is I think, inherently unknown to us and unknowable. I don't think we will know. I think we will. Maybe, you know, no one knows this, but possibly. Maybe if we practice faithfully for a lifetime, maybe in the last moment, you know, we will somehow know. Maybe. But even then, who? I don't know. Nobody could tell us whether that's so or not. But other than that small possibility, I think we have to admit that the essence of it is that we can't know and we don't know. And this doesn't mean, again, that therefore we abandon our efforts to know. I think this is being human, is to try to know that which we will never know. And always to come as close to it as we can, even though we will never really touch it. We're reaching. You know, our life is a reaching for that which is ungraspable, and a reaching that we can take joy in. That, of course, if we look at it in the narrow perspective of our narrow linear life, then this is very frustrating, right? I'm reaching for something I'm never getting. And that's why whenever we reduce that which we're reaching for to some objective thing, like I'm looking for the right relationship, job, place to live, etc., this is really frustrating, because you never get it. But when you realize that what you're reaching for is the unreachable, then that reaching is joyful. And you don't think, how come I haven't reached it? You know, that's the essence of it. I never reach it. And that's what's so beautiful, is that reaching for the unreachable. That's the human possibility and the human joy. And anything short of that, I think, always is unsatisfactory to us. And I feel this very much, you know, in that story. It's beautifully poetic in this particularly Jewish way of this truth. So if we don't know, really, we know more. We know many things, of course, and we try to learn more all the time. But if we don't really know in the end, then we're left with faith, you know, in this. And so I think faith is really an important thing. But I sometimes I have a big question about faith and experience, which seem to be two different things. You know, one thing is faith, which seems to be the opposite of experience. I don't know about it, but I have faith, you know. And experience, which seems to be something I can experience through this instrument of the body and mind and the thinking and the perception, I can know something. The trouble that I have with faith sometimes is that not so much that faith seems to be irrational. I don't mind that. I'm happy to be irrational. That's fine. and reason has never been my best friend. So that's not the problem. The problem is that there's something about the enthusiasm of faith that can be sort of border on the fanatic, you know, border on the you kind of never know which way the wind of faith is going to blow you. And sometimes, as we all know, the excesses of faith are all too apparent and common. You know, it almost seems as if those excesses almost kind of go along with faith, the whole idea of faith, so that one ends up wondering, is that how good an idea is that? On the other hand, if you know what the Zohar is suggesting is true, that our life can't be limited to what we know and what we can see, then we must have faith to live. So then, what kind of faith and how faith? And this is where I think faith tempered by experience begins to make sense. In other words, and this is also where our meditation practice comes in. Because on our meditation cushions, our efforts are very concrete, you know? The way we're talking, breathing, posture, standing, walking, thoughts coming and going, but thoughts that we experience, thoughts that we can say, this is a thought coming, this is a mental state, this is an emotion. Very concrete, very down to earth experiences that we're focusing on in meditation practice. In our way of practicing here, we're not really meditating on the divine names or the kinds of meditation that would maybe have been done in Kabbalistic circles. We're really focusing on very much experientially based meditation practice, right? Very concrete. But the interesting thing about it is, and I think that you all know this already and will increasingly be saturated with it, you know, as the days go on and as the retreats build one on the other, is the fact that through this foundation of actual concrete experiences of the body, of the heart, of the mind and thought, somehow between the lines something else arises. In other words, you feel your life in a different way. You begin to understand, the closer in you get with the feeling of the body, the feeling of the breath, the thoughts, the emotions, the closer in you get, the more clear it is that there's something else going on that you are not able to experience in between everything. And oddly and paradoxically, you know that through a very, very close examination of your experience, of your concrete experience. It's a strange thing, but I think that's what we actually experience. It's a funny thing. We experience that which is beyond experiencing. Somehow we know it. In some way we know it, even though when one of the things you learn in meditation, as soon as you try to grab it and say, oh wow, I'm going to run and tell my friend about this, this was great, you know, then it disappears, because it's not a kind of object that you can identify and share quite in that way. So that what we come to, I think, is a sense of tremendous faith and confidence, which is not a wild enthusiasm, which is in fact based on experience, very concrete, very grounded experience. And that's the virtue of this way of meditation, this particular way, is it's very grounded in actual facts of life, of your unique life, your unique history, your unique body and pattern of thinking and pattern of emotion. So, even though we're focused on experience then, it's not our experience that we don't, in other words, we're not here on our cushions trying to collect experience and catalog experiences. We can safely let go of anything that we experience on our cushions, because the purpose is to find a wider scope for living beyond experience. And sometimes it happens too, as I know some of you have reported to me, that we have experiences, these are our favorites, right? Experiences on our cushion that don't quite compute. You know, we have all kinds of, there's all sorts of strange and funny and wonderful things that happen from time to time, flashes of insight or uncanny kinds of out-of-body experiences or different things. I mean, people differ greatly in their predilection for these things, and it's very colorful, the way different ways that people have of experiencing these things. But when those things happen, it's kind of like somebody upstairs is ringing a big bell and saying, notice that your previous explanation of all that you think you are and all that life is may not be entirely the whole story. Take notice of that. And so those experiences too, we appreciate, and we let them go, because they are just a bell ringing. We don't want to get too excited about them or focus on them, because if we get attached to them or become afraid of them, either way, they can become somewhat counterproductive or toxic. So we just enjoy the show and realize that it's important, and also let go, and then just come back to something more ordinary and concrete. So this is what we're trying to develop. And you can see that it's not a matter of a linear development here, but just saturating ourselves over time, you know, immersing ourselves as we are these days in our practice until through the spaces within our experience, faith will grow, a faith that's grounded in our experience, but not limited to it. I think that possibly, even probably, in days gone by, our ancestors in Jewish communities knew exactly this that I'm talking about, and said so in many ways through their being embedded in Jewish life with the daily mindfulness practices that were done so thoroughly with a whole community, and it's felt like probably a whole universe supporting those practices. The practice of prayer, the observance of the sacred annual calendar, that there was a sense of real concrete experience and the divine, you know, bleeding through daily acts, that they knew this.